Good morning and welcome to A Vision for You, Big Book Study. My name is Jody E. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater, anorexic, and bulimic. Today is Wednesday, September 4th, 2024. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we are on page 44, the second paragraph. Today's readers are Yvonne A., Shelley E., and Liz A. They are the readers of the text. The reader of the steps is Addie V., and the traditions, Nancy D.M. Carla C. will greet our newcomers, and Betsy H. will give us our announcements today. The reference numbers for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, Tuesday, September 3rd, is 21,709-21709. And this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting share ID number is 21,716-21716. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover. 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Addie V. to read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Addie V. from Maui, Hawaii, and these are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service.
Thank you so much, Addie V. from Hawaii. And I will now ask Nancy D.M. to read the 12 traditions of OA. Thank you, Nancy.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Nancy D.M. from Pennsylvania, compulsive eater and anorexic. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater, overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me do service. Have a great day, everybody.
Thank you so much, Nancy DM. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone may share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing on what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press *1 to unmute your phone. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press *1 to remute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 44, paragraph 2. I will now ask Yvonne A. to begin reading for us.
Good morning, and thank you, Jody. I'm Yvonne A., a recovered compulsive overeater in BC, Canada. To one who feels he is an atheist or agnostic, such an experience seems impossible. But to continue as he is means disaster, especially if he is an alcoholic of the hopeless variety. To be doomed to an alcoholic death or to live on a spiritual basis are not always easy alternatives to face. Oh boy, they are not. For me, when I came in the door, I didn't know what a 12-step program entailed. I certainly wasn't expecting a spiritual program. I was expecting a weight loss program where I would get some new ideas on how to control my eating. And so when I first came into the rooms, everybody was talking about God. And I was shocked at the effect it was having on me, because I did not consider myself to be an atheist or an agnostic. I had been, you know, quite spiritual at times in my life. I'd actually considered when I was young going into the ministry. And so to be having this reaction to hearing people talking about God just seemed like a complete shock. And so for me to start making my way back, I couldn't figure out how I had got so disconnected from a higher power. But to find my way back, I thought, how am I going to do this? And so I started by just, you know, coming up with words about words that were less of a body blow: divinity, spirituality, energy, anything that I could think of that was higher power-ish. And that gently eased me back in. But the huge surprise for me was that really my higher power had gone nowhere. As soon as I was ready to invite that higher power back in, it was right there for me and remains right there. Every time I invite God in, God is there for me. But when I started out, these alternatives, like, oh my gosh, how am I going to do this? Like, I just have no ability to work this spiritual program with a God that seems foreign to me now, or to go on, you know, to this alcoholic death. And I was headed there. I was, you know, I had lost a fair bit of weight at one point, and I had put almost all of it back on. I was maybe 20 pounds shy of that. And I knew that it was just a matter of time. It's not like there was some magic recipe for how I was keeping those 20 pounds off. And my health, I'm in my early 60s. My health numbers were starting to shift and go to numbers that were less desirable. I just had my sponsor gave me the set aside prayer. Thank you. So yeah, that set aside prayer really helped me to make that decision to lead the spiritual life. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Yvonne A. from British Columbia, for getting us started. I will now take a list of names of people who would like to share, but before I do, I'll just remind everyone that though we value everyone's experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. Who would like to share?
Deborah G.
Ann P.
California.
Freya H.
Freya.
Patricia Ann from North Carolina.
Diana
Y. Philadelphia.
Diana from Philadelphia.
Janice K. from Oregon.
Okay. Wonderful. It's a great list. Let's go with that. I have Deborah G., Anne from California, Freya H., Patricia Ann, Diana Y., and Janice K. Please go ahead, Deborah G.
Thank you so much, Jody, for your service and everyone who's made this meeting possible. And welcome to all the newcomers here. I'm so glad that you're here. And I'm Deborah G. from Arizona. And thank you so much for that start with that paragraph. And I was just reminiscing about those thoughts of having no power. You know, it took me a long time to get to that place to realize I had no power, you know, because I kept trying to control it. And it wasn't in that first step that I finally got honest. When I finally got in that first step and really believed it, that I had no power, you know, and that I was a compulsive overeater. And then, you know, I had thoughts about God. I thought I believed in God. But, you know, I doubted the power of God, you know. And so I kept going back and forth. And so finally, when I finally did, you know, get honest with myself and looking at there is help. What can I do? And that was about continually whatever I needed to do to connect with this power. And so that was living in steps 10, 11, and 12, because I've done 10, 11, and 12 before doing my first step in OA. So I had a little in what to do to stay connected, because I finally realized, you know, the unmanageability, in my life, the spiritual malady in my life that was going on because of what I was doing, my actions. So what I learned was that I just do the actions that I do, and it works me. Like someone mentioned, that set-aside prayer, you know, really saturating myself, you know, because I would not do stuff from my heart. I would not read. I would not talk. I would not behave from my heart. I was in my head, and it was when I finally felt the experience, like feeling the words and feeling the experience of what is being said, and embracing that, did I finally experience the power that I longed for, that I was so separate from, starting to get connected. And that's all I have. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Deborah G. from Arizona. Anne, I didn't get the initial of your last name, from California.
Hello, this is Anne B. from Westchester United Danger Group in New York. I'm a compulsive overeater. I don't like the word recovered, although I have been abstinent for 19 years. You know, I also was a person who considered myself actually quite spiritual. Didn't think I would qualify as an agnostic at all, but I learned in this program that I was a functional agnostic. I was relying on me and not on God. And this week, you know, I really have seen that in having my kitchen floor redone. And I was freaking out about not being able to get into my kitchen, because when I go into restaurants, I eat more. And, you know, when I was during the shutdown, I didn't go to restaurants and I lost 10 pounds. And now gradually, because I've gone back to my regular eating patterns, I've gained them back, and I'm kind of freaking out about that. And the idea that I might have to eat in restaurants for 3 days or 4 days was really freaking me out. And I listened to a podcast at this meeting, I think it was Monday night, and it was like, they were talking about how you have to rely on God, and it was like, oh, right. I'm not in charge here. I can't do this myself. God's supposed to do it. You know, here, I've been in program almost 20 years. You would think I would remember. No, I'm a built-in forgetter. I had to listen to that on this podcast from this meeting and hear that. Oh, right. I'm not in charge. And sure enough, yesterday, it was like, oh, wait a minute. I've got a camping cooler. I've got a hot plate because I've been camping. I can use those. And I can move stuff out of my fridge. And I, you know, and it was like, well, they say, you know, higher power often manifests by an intuition. Why didn't I remember I had a camping cooler? I had to let go and let God, and then I remembered I had a camping cooler. And I camped across the country to Chicago this summer, and I used the camping cooler. And why did I not remember that when I'm having my kitchen floor redone? I don't know, but I was totally freaking out. And that's the difference between relying on me and relying on God. That if I rely on me, I get all stressed. If I rely on God, I relax and the answer comes. So I'll pass.
Thank you, Andy from California. Freya H., where are you calling from this morning?
Good morning. This is Freya H. from Colorado. A recovered compulsive eater, bulimic restrictor, and I might get interrupted, so I'll just share as long as I can. Thank you so much, everybody, for being here. And similar to what others have said, I never considered myself atheist or agnostic, and so reading this chapter, I thought, you know, living on a spiritual basis, what's the big deal? like, that doesn't sound very hard. And then I tried it because I didn't really have a concept for what that meant, because I was just used to running the show. And so living on a spiritual basis meant that I'm not the boss anymore. And so when I tried to live that way, I discovered not only was it a really difficult thing, but it's actually impossible for me. Like, I cannot do this on my own power. I don't know. You know, it's like I can't fix self with more self. And that was my, like, my go-to for life was, I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to make it happen. I'm going to direct the show. I just saw things through this very narrow lens. And so I love reading this chapter with an open mind, because I see all the areas where I do play God. So regardless of what I think I believe or what I say, the way that I behave actually demonstrates what I believe. And if I'm pushing God to the side and I'm trying to manage everything, well, then I think I'm God. I think that's my job. So it was a huge revelation and a relief to find out that, oh, all the stuff, all the managing I'm trying to do is not actually my role. I really honestly thought it was. So, and I couldn't see the selfishness of it. I just thought, this is what God wants me to do. God wants me to tell everyone what's best for them. God wants me to figure it out on my own. God wants me to, to basically be perfect on my own power, you know, so that I can basically like go to God for approval and say, see how well I managed today. And then God will, you know, give me, then God will like give me love. And instead God's like, hey, none of that is your job. You just get to be one among many. You get to be humble and find out that that's actually how God's going to use me to be of greatest service, is through my humanity and my vulnerability and through all the mistakes that I make. Because if I were perfect, no one would be able to relate. I wouldn't be able to relate to anyone else. I would be in this perfect isolation, and there's not much service I can do from that place. So I'm very grateful that I just get to be another fumbling, bumbling human, you know, lovable, imperfect. You know, I never liked the term bozo on the bus, but it kind of sums it up well. So with that, I'm going to pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Freya H. from Colorado. Patricia Ann, please go ahead.
Yes, this is Patricia Ann from North Carolina. My last initial is D. All I know is that I had the spiritual basis, at least I believed I did. And so I didn't need to do all this other stuff. That, you know, because I sit outside and I spend my time. I do, you know, the 11th step. I sought through prayer and meditation to improve my conscious contact with God. I do all that, and I did it all. I do it all the time. And I seek his guidance. However, with this food, I pray and pray and pray for him to release it. I pray and pray and pray for him to, you know, take it away, to please God, you know. And I told him I don't want those meetings, God. You know, it's like, I just want you. That's all I need is you, you know. And he said, in my spirit, this is what I felt. He said that I am the meetings. And I'm like, And that's been a while back, okay? This isn't something that just happened, but I'm going to fight this because I don't want to do another 12-step program. I just don't. Well, I've come to surrender, and it's like, it's time to do another 12-step program. It's time for you to get in the herd, and it's time for you to make your outreach calls and get a God squad. It's time for you to listen to these meetings every day. It's time for you to not just get a sponsor, but do it. I did it. I've done the 12 steps over and over again. Now I have a good sponsor that is slower for me. It's slower. It's helping me to get it from my head to my heart, that 12-inch road that's the longest that I have, that I've ever journeyed on, is from my head to my heart, is to really grab this spiritual program, spiritual life, spiritual walk with God, and surrender it all to him, all of it, not just my food, but my whole entire life, my home, my pets, my job, my money, all of it, surrender it all, because it's all going crazy on me. Every piece of my life is gone crazy to me in my head. And I just need him to take over and take control. So I'm surrendering everything. You know, I've been abstinent, I don't know, 34 days now, I guess, something like that. But it's not very long, but I feel a difference in my soul that it's time for real, real deep change. Get in the program, spiritual program. Anyways, thank you. I pass.
Thank you very much, Patricia Ann D. from North Carolina. Diana Y., please go ahead.
Hi. I'm Diana. I'm a sugar addict. I've been in program a very long time, and I didn't realize that even though I kept hearing, you know, higher power, I didn't want to believe in a higher power, because the God that I knew when I was a child did not let my grandfather live, who I was extremely close to. And so I shut down as far as that went. It wasn't until I really got into the big book and understood that that's how Bill Wilson, who wrote the big book, recovered from near death from his alcoholism. He had a spiritual experience, and I wanted that to happen to me. So 9.5 years ago, I was finally willing to start praying to anything out there to help take away the obsession and craving from a sugar addiction that I had no power or no control over at all. I had tried for 32 years to do it on my own, and it didn't work. And then one night after a very bad sugar binge, I was going up to bed and I heard two words in my head, I'm done. And I knew at that moment I was abstinent. And I knew at that moment that that was a higher power that came into me somehow. But I did become willing, and I wasn't willing before. The big book has all the answers to my problems in my life. And I follow what it says. It's like a Bible to me. I sponsor through the big book, and I love it. It keeps reminding me of what I need to do on a daily basis to have peace and serenity. And I get to wake up basically with peace and serenity every morning.
Gentle reminder.
Thank you. I give everything, my entire life, to God to take care of it for me. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Diana Y. from Pennsylvania, for sharing. Janice K. from Oregon, please go ahead.
Thank you. This is Janice K. from Oregon. Well, like all the other previous speakers, I came in as a closet agnostic and a superficial believer. I won't say that all of them were superficial believers, but I was. I found out later, as I grew up in program, I found that I had a lot of denial to get over, because what I had was what the big book calls an idea of God, buried deep inside. And it was a very small God who wasn't real capable because he had to be protected. And who he had to be protected from was my family members. Because like Bill had a grandfather who he describes as having good-natured contempt for some church folk. Well, my dad had contempt for church folk, and it wasn't good-natured. And so when I joined the seeming enemy camp of God, I had to protect my higher power and myself, mostly myself, from my family's contempt. I used to head out to church to be told, well, if you're so weak, you need it, go ahead. And I decided, okay, fine, I'm that weak. I need it. And I went. So between God and I and the 12 steps, I got better. I got better. And the second part of my share, I'm going to shift my answer. My answer has shifted to living on a spiritual basis, which is not always easy. But it certainly is worth it. There are a lot of statements in the big book that need recovering recovered members to address, because otherwise the newcomer has no idea that it's true. Yeah, to be doomed to a compulsive death or to live on a spiritual basis is not always easy. But it is possible. Not perfectly, but it is possible. It is reachable. It is attainable. And it's well worth the journey and the trouble and the grief. So thank you for listening, and I pass.
Thank you, Janice K. from Oregon. We are on page 44 in the chapter called We Agnostics, and we're on the second paragraph, the second full paragraph of the chapter. Who else would like to share?
Liz A., California.
Is that Liz A.?
Rachel L., California.
Yes.
Okay, Liz A., Rachel.
Jill M. from South Carolina.
Jill M.
Michelle G. from California.
Michelle G. Okay, let's go with that group. I have Liz A., Rachel from California, Jill M., and Michelle G. Please, everyone, press star 1 to mute, except for Liz A.
Good morning. This is Liz A., recovered compulsive overeater from Los Angeles. You know, all I can say is this book and these paragraphs are so divinely inspired, because I thought a spiritual experience meant that I would be struck abstinent. That's what happened to me in the beverage program, so I thought that would happen to me in this program, and unfortunately, I kept relapsing and relapsing. Was pretty hopeless, you know. I knew what my fate was going to be. If I kept doing what I was doing, I was going to keep getting what I was getting, you know. And so thank God that in this paragraph, he goes on to say that the alternative was to live on a spiritual basis. He's not mentioning the word experience. Also, thank goodness for Appendix 2, which talks about a spiritual awakening versus a spiritual experience. You know, that gave me a little opening that I was looking for, you know. I was trying to research this, don't you know? I was trying to figure this out. But that gave me a little opening, you know. And I found out that, you know, what that meant to me, living on a spiritual basis, was very simple. It meant I had to take action and do what the 12 steps told me to do. And that was all that was required to begin my recovery, you know. I have what's called agnostic pockets, meaning that there's certain areas in my life or certain moments where I don't think God can or would help me out. And I heard a podcast, thank goodness, and it said that the speaker said that when he can't think of a higher power as a separate being, he thinks of a higher power as his higher self. And that really helped me. Because when that happens, I ask my higher self, what is the next indicated right thing? And the answer always comes. You know, it isn't easy. You know, I live with chronic pain, and that's a difficult thing for me. But I really do have a peace now. You know, I stopped fighting everyone, and I stopped fighting everything. And that, you know, working steps 10, 11, and 12 just really keeps me in there. Also staying in the middle of the herd. All these things mean that I am living a spiritual life. Yeah, I guess that's all I can share. Thank you. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Liz A. from California. Rachel, I didn't get your initial.
Rachel L. from San Diego, California, San Diego.
Hi, Rachel.
So I'm brand new to OA. I've only been here about 12 days absent. This is day 5 for me. And when I always say when I first got here, and I'm like, haha, this is just first got here. I was like, I never really felt I deserved, you know, God's love or my higher power's love, whatever you want to call it. And now I don't want to say I'm having like a spiritual awakening. I don't know. But I'm kind of like, you know what, I do deserve this. I am worthy of this. And I need this to be able to recover. I'm recovering, you know. I'm in that hospital stage, I'm being told, you know. I'm in the NICU right now with the tubes and the IVs coming out of me of my recovery. And I'm trying my best, and I need, because I try to control everything in my life, you know, and I'm out of control. I can't control nothing. So if I can't control that, at least I can control my food. And that's even out of control. So, you know, I need to let go and let my higher power. And I'm realizing I am having those spiritual experiences. And I just sat here and was like, oh my goodness. I was like, you know, I am letting go and letting God more and more each day. And you know, they're not letting me down like I thought they would. You know, I totally doubted it and was like, they're going to let me down. Like, oh, my goodness, I can't do this. And I was like, you know, Rachel, what could go wrong? Everything's already going wrong. You know, what else could go wrong? What else could possibly go wrong? So why not give it a chance? And it's been going great. So I was like, you know, I keep praying, keep going. And I've been praying because, you know, I've been wanting, you know, because I've been detoxing and I've been wanting to punch people in the throat, but I haven't. And I just, you know, I've been praying about it and praying about it and praying about it, you know, and I've been reaching out to people and calling people and saying, hey, ready to punch somebody in the throat, but, you know, not going to do it. So thank you for letting me share, because this has been a very spiritual journey.
Thank you so much, Rachel L. from California. Jill M., please go ahead.
I think this is me. It's Cheryl, not Jill. But I'll just keep going.
Okay, go ahead. From South Carolina?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry, Cheryl. Go ahead.
So I'm Cheryl, a recovered, not cured, compulsive overeater. And, excuse me, I love the choice that this paragraph presents for us. On one hand, we can be doomed to an alcoholic, or in my case, food-related death. On the other hand, I can live on a spiritual basis and be free of the food hell that I lived in and be happy, joyous, and free. And only me as an addict has to think about that and weigh that decision. I think any normal person would have an immediate answer to that. So it kind of makes me chuckle a little bit. I came to program with a God of my understanding. My life's work was ministry. So the God thing was part of my daily life. But when it came to my food, no. When it came to situations when the you-know-what hit the fan, I didn't turn to God, I turned to food. And so food really was my God for many, many years. Once I hit bottom and crawled back through the doors of OA ready to do whatever they told me to do to get one day free of that food hell that I lived in, my life changed completely. And God is back in God's place. So that's where I turn when things are difficult and when things are great. I live on a spiritual basis every day, or I try to live on a spiritual basis every day, praying, thy will, not mine, be done. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl M. from South Carolina. Michelle G., please go ahead.
Hi, this is Michelle G. from California, recovered. And I've been in program, various OA programs for years. And I've just found so much hope and relief in this whole concept of a higher power and God. You know, it was like when I did step one and finding out that I'm powerless, that felt so hopeless. And then doing step two and step three, and then just seeing that there is hope and that there is a power that is greater than me, thank goodness, because on my own power, I got to be, you know, 250 pounds and just out of control. It just, you know, it just brings tears to my eyes, knowing and witnessing that sweet miracle that takes place when I turn my will and my life over to His care. And I see it all the time. I witness it all the time when I have a fear, when I have unmanageability in my life and I pick up the phone or I pray and I work with my sponsor or my sponsees or outreach calls and 10th steps and all of that, and to see that these things that bothered me come together, and that I can see these sweet hand of my God coming in and giving me answers to my prayers and taking away my difficulties that on my own I cannot bear on my own shoulders. Just even yesterday, I outreached to my sponsor, and it was just, you know, that the message just comes in of hope, and I'm just so grateful for these rooms. I'm so grateful that all these steps have pointed me towards God, and because that truly is the answer, not only all of you and knowing what my trigger foods are and the plan and the meetings, but ultimately that higher power that is with us all the time. Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle G. from California. We have time for one more share. I'm sorry, I didn't catch either of you.
Lisa Orange.
Okay, I heard Lisa first. Please go ahead, Lisa.
Thank you. Sorry about that. What stands out for me is to be doomed to an alcoholic death or to live on a spiritual basis are not always easy alternatives to face. Someone helped me to envision this as, you know, there's two doors to choose from. And one of them is to continue with, you know, the food the way I have been or being self-absorbed. And then the second choice is to go through the door that leads me down the spiritual road. And I kept wanting to make there be a third door. I wanted a third choice because I wanted both simultaneously, and that's just not an option. And, you know, when it talks about doomed to an alcoholic death, for me, food death, there's no doubt in my mind that my eating would have cut some years off at the end of my life. And if it didn't, I would have at least been suffering a spiritual death in the meantime because, you know, life only existed to eat and to avoid people and to, you know, be irritable with people who just weren't living the way I felt they should live to make me comfortable. And if I'm in the food, this is a really, really hard choice. You know, the food calls to me so compellingly that first door just stays an option, you know. Now that I'm recovered, I'm so grateful for a program and for the Big Book and for everyone who makes this meeting possible. So thanks for listening.
Okay. Thank you so much, Lisa. Thank you very much for your share and everyone for sharing. And everyone's service today. It's been a beautiful meeting. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Shelley E. please read our closing for us?
You bet. Good morning, my fellows. I'm Shelley E., a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Petoskey, Michigan. The Big Book, page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. Excuse me. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thank you for letting me do service, and I pass.